Thanks for joining us here at New Song Church, where we're helping people to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. If you have any questions at all, or just want to learn more about us as a church, you can go to mynsc.org/happenings. It's the best way to stay connected with us throughout the week. And now, check out this week's sermon.
Are you ready to study the Word of God? Yes or no?
Yes.
Do you believe that I can get this done in 24 minutes? I'm starting my timer right there. Actually, it's for 30. I'm gonna aim for 30. Okay, everybody. If you wonder what, I really do have a timer up here every Sunday, everybody, because I want to honor your time. But at the same point, how many know we want to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit too? I don't want to be governed by a clock as much as I want to be governed by the Lord. But I certainly want to pay attention to your time. And sometimes I just gotta say things a little bit shorter. Like, why am I talking about it right now? I don't know. Because I can. Okay. I'm going to teach on something that I could teach. I could teach all year about this subject too. I'm passionate about it. It comes easy for me to teach. To be honest with you, I have taught this material before in the past. It is very, very rare that you will ever hear me repeat a sermon. It's very, very rare. And when I do, I'll always tell you, hey, I've preached this before. And in this case, I have preached this before. It has been years and years and years ago. In fact, I would say the vast majority of you were not here the last time that I've taught this. And by the way, years from now, I'm going to reteach this again because it's so powerful and it's so true. It's part of our values here at New Song that we want every person to know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. And this is about finding your purpose. And I'm going to say a couple of things before we go too far. First of all, there are far too many people, and I don't know if you're one of them, but there are far too many people that focus on the temporary instead of the eternal. That people have their eyes set on the here and now, and they are not thinking eternal thoughts. They are only thinking temporary thoughts. They're only thinking, how can I pay the bills? How can I get a pay raise? You know, what do my kids need for Christmas? Or, you know, what's this week hold? Or what does this day hold? Or, hey, I want this new car. Or, I really want this new house. Or, you know, it's time for me to go get a new outfit, even though you got one last week. I mean, and you're like, well, Pastor, what's wrong with all those things? Not necessarily anything wrong with all those things, but if that's all that you think about, everybody, you are too focused on the temporary and not focused enough on the eternal. I'm telling you, your calling in life is to make a difference in the life of someone else. Can I tell you this way, everybody? Your life is not about you. Your life is your purpose. Is not to make a difference in yourself. Your purpose is to make a difference in the life of someone else. And as you make that difference in the life of someone else, God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. How many know that's in the Word? Like, God will take care of you as you choose to live your life to take care of others. It's amazing. And I've said this over and over again, and it's so true. You'll never know what true joy is until you learn to serve someone else. So there's a lot of people that live their life looking for worldly success instead of looking for eternal significance. And if your eyes are all about worldly success, look at your pastor, you're living the wrong life. If your life is all about worldly success, that is not the life that God has for you. You are focused on the temporary when God has called us to focus on the eternal. How do I make a difference in the life of someone else? Everywhere I go, I'm always thinking. And you might say, no, really, Justin? Really, I am always thinking about lost people. Everywhere I go, I cannot go to Walmart without asking, Lord, do they know you? Do they know you? Does this cashier know you? Does this waitress know you? Do they know you? I ask myself that all the time. And I live my life to make a difference in the life of someone else. Now, you know as well as I do, as we share the gospel of grace, the best way to do that is in the context of relationship. And so I've just made it a point. Everybody, I teach my staff this. I pastor the entire town. Like wherever I go, I just consider myself the pastor. You know why? Because I'm here to make a difference. That's why I can't hardly enjoy, everybody, you can ask my family, I don't like movies. I like football. I like the Packers. Everybody should have amened that right there. Everybody should have. I don't like movies because actually I'm just being honest with you. This is not legalism. This is the heart that God has given me. Every time I watch movies, I can't enjoy it because I'm constantly thinking, that person doesn't know Jesus. Or they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't say that. They don't know Jesus. They need Jesus. How many know it's hard to enjoy a movie when you're brokenhearted for those that you're watching? Now you say, well, football players need Jesus too. Yes, they do. But I love it when they hit somebody. You know what I'm talking about? Like cracking heads on that offensive line. I love it. So I want to teach you this very, very quickly, everybody. And these are things that I've said in the past. I'm going to keep saying them because they're so true. Write this down, everybody, that I was created. You were created as the solution to a problem. Many of you have heard me say that before, and you're going to keep hearing it. You were created as the solution to a problem. When God made you, He had a problem in mind, and you were not the problem. You were the solution to the problem. Now, some of you became a problem. In fact, we all have. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Can I get an amen to that? Like, it's true. We all have done that. But how many know that God has redeemed our lives too? Can I get an amen to that? He redeemed our lives so that we can make a difference in the life of someone else. He created you as the solution to a problem. I say it this way, that when God created Justin Chambers, in fact, far beyond He ever created Justin Chambers, He had a city in mind, Plymouth, Indiana. And He chose this redheaded, chubby kid from rural Oklahoma. And I'm not talking Tulsa or Oklahoma. I'm talking rural Oklahoma. He chose this kid to make a difference in north central Indiana. And how He got me from Oklahoma to Indiana is my story. I should say this, it's God's story in my life. See, when He created me, He had Plymouth on His mind, that there needed to be a life-giving church, Bible-believing, faith-filled, filled with the presence of the Lord. There needed to be a life-giving church in Plymouth, Indiana that was not only going to make a difference in this community and in this county, but was going to make a difference in the state, in this nation, and around the world. Everybody, before I was ever created in my mother's, before I was ever formed in my mother's womb, the Lord knew that New Song Church was going to plant well over 1,500 churches around the world. Did you know that? Why? Because we were created, not just me, but if you're here too, is proof you were created as the solution to a problem. You're not the problem. You're the solution to it. Okay, everybody. So write this down, that you will never be satisfied making a dollar when your purpose is to make a difference. You will never be fully satisfied making a dollar when your purpose is to make a difference. Remember, everybody, worldly success versus eternal significance. And you've got to make the choice. What are you going to live for? Well, I determined a long time ago, I'm not going to live my life to make a buck. I'm going to live my life to make a difference. And we're going to see this in the life of Nehemiah. Now, I've taught about Nehemiah so many times. He's really one of my favorite leaders in the entire Bible. A lot of people would say the Apostle Paul, he's certainly up there, but Nehemiah is right up there too, just in a different generation. And what's happened at this point? If you were here with us during the summer months, we studied all 12 of the minor prophets in order. And remember that the Israelites were conquered by the Babylonians. The Babylonians came in and they conquered the northern kingdom of Israel and then the southern kingdom of Israel, and they took all of the Israelites, millions of them, into Babylonian captivity. Let me say it this way. That's a nice way to say the Israelites became slaves of the Babylonians, and they were in exile. They were in captivity. Well, over the next 70 years, things changed over the course of time, and there was a new leader that came in. And he allowed a bunch of the Israelites to go back to the city of their fathers, to go back to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, in effect, had been a ghost town for the last 70 years. There hadn't been anybody in it. And the king said, you know what? I'm going to allow whoever wants, you can go back and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. That was their first goal. And then to rebuild the walls and the houses, you can go back and live in that city again. And there was, we call it the first wave of people that went back to Jerusalem. There was about 50,000 of them that went back to Jerusalem. And you would think that they would do first things first, that they would go in because they wanted God to be the focal point of their lives. Their first goal was to build the temple. And they started it, but they certainly didn't finish it because they started focusing on the temporary instead of the eternal. And they backed away from the temple and they started building their own homes. They put the priority not on God, but back on themselves. And Nehemiah gets word that things in Jerusalem are not good. And this is where we pick up in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa. Now, Nehemiah was in service. He was cupbearer to the king. Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. So he's asking this guy about the 50,000 people that went back to Jerusalem. Verse 3. And they said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. Watch this, verse 4, I underlined it in your notes. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days, I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. I'm gonna point something out to you. That a problem was conveyed to Nehemiah and it jumped out to him. He discovered the problem. He discovered the problem. And write this down, number one, he discovered the problem and he developed a passion to solve the problem. How do we know that? Well, the Bible says he hears about Jerusalem, that it's broken down, the gates have burned with fire. He said, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. And then for some days, for a length of time, he mourned and he fasted and he prayed. Like God captured his heart. He discovered the problem and he developed a passion. I'm going to ask you a question before we go any further. To live out your God-given purpose, you say, well, Pastor, how do I find my purpose? So that's what this little miniature series is about, finding purpose. How do I find my purpose? I'm going to ask you a question. What do you see? What do you see? What stands out to you? You know, when I made one phone call here back in Indiana to see if there was any need for any churches in the entire state of Indiana, I made one phone call. And the person I was talking to said, actually, we would certainly love to have a church planted, here in Indiana. And we have lots of towns that you can choose from. And he starts naming like 10 or 12 towns. I only remember two towns outside of Plymouth I don't even remember all the rest of them. I know Sherrillville was one of them. And I know LaGrange was another. I don't remember all of the other towns that he mentioned because as soon as he said Plymouth, it just jumped out to me. I'm telling you, it's like, and I got off the phone and my wife said, well, what did he say? I said, there's this town called Plymouth. She said, where's that? I don't know. And that's before we had, you remember the days before we had like GPS and maps on our phone? Like we had to use MapQuest. You remember that? So I went back to my church office where, because we didn't have a computer at the house. We just had one in my office. I went back to the office, opened up MapQuest, and I had to look up where Plymouth was. I had no idea where it was. And it was so, it jumped out to me so much that within just a few days, my wife and I drove all the way down here from Milwaukee, where I was a music pastor in Milwaukee, just for 4 years. We drove down here, we drove around the city, and then we wept over the city. And the Lord just spoke to our hearts, this is it. I discovered the problem, and I developed a passion. I had what Pastor Larry, a mentor to me, what he says is you'll develop a divine love. In fact, I've been teaching this in leadership training. I'm training a bunch of leaders here at New Song and future leaders here at New Song, that there's the there's a certain people in a certain place. And attached to that certain people in a certain place is a certain purpose for your life. And God will give you a divine love for that certain people in that certain place. What do you see? That's the question. What do you see? Let me ask it a different way. What's going undone? What do you see in life? And you say, somebody needs to do something about that. What's going undone? Who's not being served? Who's not being loved? Who's not being fed? Who's not being cared for? What do you see or what do you not see that God continually points out to you? I've had so many people over the past come to me and say, Pastor Justin, you know what we need to do here at New Song? That there's this people group, there's this group that needs this and this and that, and I'll look at them, hey, that is great. When are you going to start that ministry? Oh, no, you're the pastor here. Hey, I don't know if you know this, New Song, but my things to do list is already really long. Let me say it another way. I'm going to be so bold here. God did not call me to live out your purpose in life. He called me to live out my purpose in life. And my purpose is already being fulfilled. I can't add anything else to my list because I'm doing exactly what God has called me to do. Can I tell you that thing that you see that's not getting done or that could be done better or that could, you know, maybe you're the only one in the community that's seeing, can I tell you something? That's probably the starting place in fulfilling your purpose. So a lot of people, they discover the problem, they see it. Sometimes they even develop a passion for it. Well, somebody's got to do something, but they're so focused on the temporary that they'd never step out in faith and accomplish anything because they're not thinking of the eternal. They're only thinking of the temporary. And you guys have got to get your eyes off of the temporary. Can I tell you, all of this stuff that we fight for, that we long for, that we want, none of it's going to be in heaven except for people. Can I tell you, a lot of people say, Pastor Justin, you know, many of you have said this, Pastor Justin, are you excited about this building project? No. In fact, I pulled Pastor Larry the last time he was here. Again, one of my mentors, I not only met with him, but I had to meet with our entire advisor council and said, hey, this is where we're at. This is how we're growing. Pastor Larry, what would you suggest that we do? He says in this sermon, but brother, I think it's time to build. And I was like, I don't want to build. I've been through that. I didn't like it. You know, like, but can I also tell you something else, everybody? Have you ever noticed how little we talk about the expansion? Have you ever noticed that? Can I tell you why? It's just a building. A lot of pastors are so deceived. They think if you build it, they will come. Not true. It's not true. Buildings do not win people to Jesus. People win people to Jesus. Our building, it's just a building. It's just an expansion. It's an instrument that we'll use to make a difference in the world. I'm not excited about a building. I'm excited about a lost people coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior. That's what I'm excited about. So my job isn't to build a building. My job is to build you, to become who God created you to be. Am I being too bold? Okay, because it's going to get worse, everybody. It's going to get worse. So what do you see? What do you see that's going undone, that somebody should be doing, but they're not doing it. Or maybe they're just not doing it well. Could it be the start of your purpose? Let me give you some application here. So you're here on a Sunday morning, and you walk to the doors, and you realize that there's nobody standing there opening the door for you, greeting you on the way in. There's no smiling face saying, hey, welcome, welcome, glad you're here. And you notice it. You know what? Nobody's at this door. That's odd. You just saw a problem that you're called to solve. How many, I want you to do this, mass confession here. How many of you in this room have the ability to shake hands? Raise your hand. Okay, I now dub thee greeters of New Song. If you ever see a door that's not being opened for somebody, because maybe somebody just, they didn't feel good and had to go home. Maybe they forgot they were on the schedule that day. If you ever see a door that isn't being held open and people being greeted, can I tell you something? Get to that door and make a difference. Put a smile. Can I tell you, the altar call starts in the parking lot. It doesn't start here in the sanctuary. Hearts are softened as the hearts are softened by the smiling faces they encounter and the joy-filled people that they encounter on their way into the sanctuary. Woo! I could preach that, y'all. You're like, so I'm just called to be a greeter? It's a starting place. Where will God take you after that? Can I tell you something? Amanda on staff, she's served so well. I'm so proud of her. It's a starting place. You know, when we sat down with her, we dreamed. We talked about some stuff that probably scares the snot out of her and Aaron, because it's a big dream. And I said, your very first supporters is going to be us in this church. Because this is just a this kids ministry was a season to get you to where you need to be, making a difference for the glory of God. And we're going to be your biggest fans and your biggest supporters. Why? Because they've discovered a problem. They developed a passion. The second thing, you got to devise a plan and desert your present position. You got to devise a plan and desert your present position. And what I mean by that, well, actually, I'm going to teach you this in Nehemiah chapter 2 just for 1 second, but I want to give you point number 3 first. That in order to develop a plan and desert your present position, that you have to move on from your old history and your old habits and your old hurts. You got to move on. You cannot keep reliving the past. If you relive the past, it will keep you from moving forward in your purpose. And there's a lot of people who hang out in their history, and they hang out in their habits, and they hang out in their hurts, and that is not going to help you live the call that God has placed upon your life. You've got to not only discover the problem and develop a passion, but now you've got to devise a plan. Hey, I'm going to do something about that, and you've got to move forward. You have to desert your present position. Let me say it this way, everybody. I heard another pastor say it in a very similar way, that I cannot and you cannot change, we cannot change our beginning. The past is in the past. I can't change my beginning. I can't even change my yesterday, but I can change the ending. I can move forward in my purpose in Christ. I can become, if I'm not now, I can become who God wants me to be and fulfill the call of God upon my life for the glory of his name. I cannot change the past, but my future has not been written. I can be the person who God calls me to be. Can I, by the way, can I tell you, everybody, that God has written your future. The question is, are you going to align yourself with it? He placed a purpose on your life so that you would walk in it. The question is, are you going to walk in it? Are you going to live it out? I'm going to show you this in Nehemiah chapter 2. So Nehemiah, he obviously discovered the problem. He developed a passion. He's been praying and crying and mourning and, you know, spending some time with the Heavenly Father for a lot of days. It says, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, remember Nehemiah was cupbearer to the king. He said, I took the wine and gave it to the king, and I had been sad, and I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked, well, let me stop right there. He had not been sad in the presence of the king before because there was a certain standard that had to be met to be in the presence of the king. One of the standards was you were never allowed to be in a bad mood, ever. You couldn't do it. If you came before the king and you were in a bad mood and you interrupted his day or you put any level of issue or any level of problem in his life when you were in his presence, you know what he could do? And they often did do? Off with your head. They would kill them or they'd at least send them to prison. You weren't allowed to be in a bad mood in the presence of the king or you could lose your life. And you'd say, kings wouldn't do that. Oh, it's recorded in history over and over and over again. These rulers, they ruled everything, including the emotions of those who served them. And that's why he had never been in a bad mood. He'd never been sad in the presence of the king, but this day was different. So the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very much afraid, Nehemiah said, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? And the king said to me, Nehemiah, what is it that you want? And then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king. Can I tell you something? He didn't say, hey, could you excuse me for about 5 minutes? I'll be right back. I got to go pray. This is not that moment. The Bible says that he prayed and he answered. He prayed and he answered. You know what his prayer was? Oh, Lord, help me. How many know that you don't have to have a bunch of words to get the attention of our God? Aren't you glad about that, somebody? When you say, Lord, I need you, God says, okay. I'm here. I'm really glad about that. Can I get an amen, somebody? He's so good. Then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors buried so that I can rebuild it. And the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, how long will your journey take and when will you be back? It pleased the king to send me. So I set a time. Now, if you read the whole story, when he went in front of the king, he had already devised a plan, and he was able to present that to the king. Well, I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and I'm going to go here, and I need this letter be sent so-and-so, and I need this material from this certain nation. And he was already devised. He'd already devised a plan. And he looked at the king. He said, king, I just need your permission to go. And the king said, you can go. In fact, the Bible says it pleased the king. Can I tell you something, everybody? When you discover the problem that you're called to solve and you develop a passion to solve it and you devise a plan and then you take that never going back step of faith, you desert your present position of complacency and you say, no, I'm going to live my life to make a difference. Oh, it pleases our king. How many know what I'm talking about? Like the king of all kings says, oh, Justin, oh, you're doing so good. I'm going to provide you with every single thing that you need to fulfill the calling that I placed upon your life. See, the king was an example of our king. He gave Nehemiah every single thing he needed to get the job done. And so does our king. But you've got to take a step of faith. You've got to get out of the present position that you're in. You got to move forward in faith. Like it's a no going back step of faith. No, I'm going to do this for the glory of the Lord. Well, Pastor Justin, what about my history and my habits and my hurts? And what if I get hurt again? What if I'm not ready? I'm going to reveal something so powerful to you. Write this down. You don't have to be perfect. You just need to be available. I'm going to share a pastor's heart with you very quickly. Nobody expects you to be perfect. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. As much as I don't want to sin in my life, I have a feeling that I'm not done yet. I want to be done with it. Paul writes in Romans chapter 7, he said, the very thing I don't want to do, I just do. And I hate that. And the things I do want to do, sometimes I don't do them. And I hate that. Who's going to save me from this life? Jesus, he says. He answers it, Jesus. Can I tell you, everybody, as much as I hope every single one of us hates the idea of sinning against a holy God, we'll never be perfect until we're in his presence. So he doesn't need you to be perfect. You just need to be available. You just need to start somewhere. I heard another pastor say this. I believe it was Dino Rizzo who said it. Number 5, when nothing is beneath me, then nothing is beyond me. When I heard that, I loved it. Let me explain. When you live with the mindset, nothing is beneath me. Nothing is beneath me, then nothing is beyond me. The idea there is just, you just start somewhere. See, what I found out, the Bible says you should not despise when things start small. My dad always said private victories precede public victories. So you start small, and then God brings growth to it, and he'll move you, and he'll relocate you. He'll move you from one place to the next, one step to the next, and you'll keep progressing. You'll just do more and more and more. If you're faithful with the small things, God will put you in charge over much. He'll put you in charge over many. He just wants you to start somewhere. Start somewhere. You know, I love my wife more than words can tell. I can't tell you how many times I just look at her and I say, oh, babe, I love you. You're the greatest wife ever. She's like, I don't know why. That's how she is. There's nothing, my wife and I live our lives, there's nothing beneath us. We're willing to do anything. I was thinking, can I tell you how beautiful my wife is? This has happened multiple times, but one time in particular. She had multiple people come to her and say, oh, Jennifer, you ought to see that the women's restroom, somebody tore it up. And it's in need not just of a plunger, but a massive cleaning. And my wife, without hesitation, and she's done this far more often than once, without hesitation, goes in there and takes it back to brand new. And I love my wife for it. But you know what made me sad? There were multiple people who saw the problem, but they thought it was beneath them. So they went to the pastor's wife. Well, it's not beneath us. What I find out is when I'm faithful in small things, God finds me worthy to put his presence in me even more, his anointing on me even more to accomplish what he has for my life. And you've got to live with that mindset. Well, Pastor Justin, I love kids. I just don't want to change a diaper. Can I tell you, maybe that's where God wants you to start. Maybe he wants to make sure that you're willing to be faithful in the small things. You know, before I hire anybody, I always watch them. I always watch them well long before I hire them. So I want to make sure they're faithful in the small things. I want to make sure that nothing is beneath them. I want to make sure that they're committed to the call of God, whether they get paid for it or not. That's what I look for. Can I tell you something? Could it be that God's looking for the same thing in us? The humility to just start somewhere. And I ask you again, what do you see? What do you see? To which you say, somebody's got to do something. What do you see? Maybe it's right here at this church. Maybe it's outside of these walls. It doesn't matter. What do you see? What do you see? Discover the problem. Develop a passion. Devise a plan. Desert your present position. You take a step of faith and say, you know what? I might not be able to help everybody, but I can help somebody. And that's where you start. And God makes our paths straight. He makes them obvious. He'll tell you the next step, and the next, and the next. And at the end of your life, you'll be able to look at your kids and your grandkids, like I've told you so many times. I want to look at my family members, my kids and grandkids, and say, that's how you live a life, by being obedient to the Lord, because that's what success really is. It's obedience to the Lord. You received the word of the Lord today, yes or no? All right. Heavenly Father, implant this, burn this on our hearts, that we are called by the King of all kings to be the solution to a problem in this world. Reveal it to my church family, Lord, the problem that they are called to solve. And give them the faith, give them your presence, give them your spirit, give them boldness, give them courage enough to make a difference in the life of someone else. And let them experience the joy of doing it, the joy of serving. Lord, help us to live our life with the mindset that says, nothing is beneath me. Whatever you ask of me, Lord, I will do it as worship, my God, and to my Savior, Jesus Christ. I surrender to your plan. And if you prayed with all authenticity, with all honesty, if you prayed that prayer, say amen to that, somebody. Amen.
As a church, it's our honor to play a small part in what God is doing through your life, and we would love to continue on that journey with you. To find out what your next steps could be in your relationship with Christ, all you have to do is go to mynsc.org/contact. Thank you to all of you who consistently give, serve, and pray. You are the ones who God is using to make a difference in our community as we live out our mission of leading people to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Thank you for watching. We hope you tune in next week.